We're joined now by Georgina Downer, the unsuccessful Liberal candidate for the seat of Mayo in South Australia. Before entering politics, she was a drum regular and adjunct fellow at the Institute of Public Affairs. Georgina Downer, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you.
We know each other, so there's no polite way to put this, but Rebecca Sharkey did wipe the floor with you in Mayo on the weekend, 58-42 on a two-party preferred basis. Why do you think you'd do any better next time around?
Well, I'd just point out that the results have been updated today as the postal votes have come in. So it's going to, I think, end up being more like 57-43. Yes, still, I lose. But the primary vote for the Liberal Party has held. And I would say it's going to be about a 2.5% swing against the Liberal Party here.
But that is a sorry to say, but that is a dreadful result for a government that is on a knife-edge majority and needs to win every seat it can. I mean, doesn't there come a point where it's an arrogance to say, well, this is a Downer family seat and I want to have another go at it, notwithstanding the fact that it was a dismal result on the weekend?
Well, Ellen, I would say, and I think Karen made the points earlier, that the overwhelming feedback I got on the ground here was that no one blamed Ms. Sharkey for the Section 44 issues, like they haven't blamed any of the other incumbents in the Section 44 by-elections for this issue. And they have all been re-elected where they have sought to recontest the seat and re-elected comfortably. So there was that sense definitely in Mayo that they wanted to see the incumbent finish her term. The other thing is there was nothing on the line here, and that is partly why governments don't tend to win these by-elections when they're trying to win seats off the opposition.
But there's a lot going on in the background too, Georgina, isn't there? I mean, your father's comments where he said, you know, those who support Rebecca Sharkey must be new to the area.
I think that comment was taken. I think that was misunderstood there. What my father was alluding to was the fact that in all his 40 years living in Mayo in the Adelaide Hills, he had never experienced the personal, vitriolic, sexually explicit abuse that my mother had on an online Facebook chat group. That was what he was referring to, that this was a new phenomenon. And it is an unfortunate, I think, phenomenon we do see in political debates this day and age. On social media, you do have a lot of this abuse coming out. Now, it's not across the board. It is a small minority of people, but it's really disappointing that there isn't an engagement on the issues, but rather on individuals,
well,
but also
right.
in an explicit, in ex- the explicit, sexually explicit,
explicit
and crude nature of it is really disappointing. And I completely condemn that type of cyberbullying, and I call on all politicians and candidates, if they see their supporters undertaking that, to condemn it too. I think it's really important to show that leadership.
Yeah, let's move on. You made that point. Let's talk about what you believe, because there have been questions asked about this. When you worked as an adjunct fellow for the right-wing Institute of Public Affairs, your Twitter account, which appears to have been deleted now, you opposed minimum wages and penalty rates, you described climate change policies as a global fatwa on carbon. But then when you became the candidate, you refused to answer questions about climate change.
That's not true, Ellen. No, I did an entire interview on ABC Radio Adelaide about it.
For the record, Georgina, do you hold those views? Do you believe that climate change is man-made?
I certainly think that we need to combat the effects of climate change as we are doing internationally. I think we do need an international approach to it.
You've changed your views since you were at the IPA?
No, I haven't changed my views at all. I'm concerned about some on the radical left who take an ideological approach to policies around energy and environmental and climate change mitigation that will have undue effects on our economy. I think we need a balanced approach.
It's a little difficult because the Twitter account has gone, but when you start talking about a global fatwa on carbon, that does suggest that you do not believe that there should be carbon mitigation policies. So the question becomes, were you expressing those views because you were being paid by the IPA or did you think that they were going to improve your political chances? And do you hold different views now?
My views are unchanged. That sentence was written in the context of an article for Fairfax on the election of Donald Trump, and I thought it was an important point to make that there are some elements of the international environmental movement that I think have taken an ideological approach to climate change mitigation. I think we should, as a government here in Australia, I think we should take a balanced approach. We should absolutely stay committed to our international agreements and seek international cooperation to reduce carbon emissions, to combat climate change. But we also need to mitigate and adapt to the effects of climate change locally.
Just for the record, were you aware when you were working for the IPA that Gina Rinehart was a key backer of the organisation? Court documents have revealed that she provided a third to a half of the funding for the organisation in some years. So when you were tweeting about a global fatwa on carbon, were you aware that she was a key backer of the IPA?
I was a research fellow for the IPA and conducted research into foreign policy issues predominantly. I was not involved in the activities of the development team at the IPA.
So did you know about that?
That's a question you would absolutely need to direct to the Institute of Public Affairs about their donations.
I understand, but what did you understand? Did you
My understanding was I was doing research for the Institute of Public Affairs.
Did you know Gina Rinehart was a backer? Sorry to keep interrupting, but did you know?
No, I've never met Gina Rinehart.
No, that's not what I asked you. Did you know that Gina Rinehart was a backer of the Institute of Public Affairs?
I'm not involved in the fundraising for the Institute of Public Affairs.
I'll just try one more time. You're not involved in the fundraising. You haven't met her.
Were you aware that she was a backer of the IPA?
Yes or no? Were you aware that she was a financial backer?
I was not involved in the fundraising of the IPA. Therefore, I didn't know the identities of people who donate to the IPA. What I do know is that the IPA is a membership-driven organisation, that the vast majority of donations are received from individuals to the IPA, the individuals are more than entitled to reveal if they do contribute to the IPA, but that is incumbent upon them, not on the IPA.
All right, Georgina, thank you for that. And I will just correct the record because facts are very, very important. We're not in a post-fact era. Those court documents did reveal that in two particular years, Gina Rinehart provided half the funding and on another occasion a third of the funding. So it's not correct to say that at least in one year, a vast majority was provided by members. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us after that Mayo by-election on the weekend, Georgina Downer.
Pleasure.
Coming up a little later,